Smoke crept up to his camp.
It's me. Everybody okay?
Pearly rose up from his grassy hiding place.
Johnny took a bullet in the leg, but it's hardly more than a scratch. I tied his bandana around it till we could fix a proper bandage. He's lying over yonder next to the horses. All of them cleared out, leastways the ones we could see. Wasn't near as many of them as I figured there'd be.
Let's get the horses saddled and round up as many of our cows as we can.
Smoke examined the bunched Herefords not far away.
One of our young bulls caught a stray bullet in the neck, and we'll probably have to put him down.
I've seen it up close. It's in his brisket. Bullet passed clean through. It don't hardly bleed any now. I'm betting he'll make it.
That's good news, Joey.
One by one, the cowboys stood up when it was clear Evans and his men were gone.
Well, we damn sure held them off. Except for Johnny. I'd say we was lucky.
I was also lucky. That slug could have hit me in worse places. I'll mend.
Longhorn heifers were scattered from one end of the plain to the other, while many had run into the trees to escape the loud banging noises.
Nah, we'll be all day getting them rounded up.
Duke was the last to come in from his hiding place in the grass.
Whew, I figured they was gonna run us over like a locomotive for a spell. Something must have changed their minds.
Now, I imagine Mr. Jensen can tell us what it was, if and he's of a mind to talk about it.
I got a few. Everybody ride careful out there, just in case there's some who ain't dead or still have some fight left.
What do we do if we find a wounded man, boss?
Leave that son of a bitch right where he is, Cal. We haven't got time to be doctoring men who just tried to kill us. Let them rot for all I care.
I shot one. Big feller in a sombrero with belts on his chest. Makes two so far this trip. I sure do hope there ain't no more to my credit later on.
You were doing what you had to do to help protect your friends and the cattle herd, son. Don't let it eat on you so hard.
I'm trying not to think about it, but I seen his face when I shot him. His eyes got big as fried turkey eggs, and then there was all blood all over his face. He dropped his rifle he was carrying, put his hands over his eyes just before he fell off his horse. It damn near made me sick all over again.
I'm betting a month's pay you ain't sick enough to keep from cleaning your plate tonight, young'un. Don't nothing make you that belly sick.
That's damn sure one thing about Cal, all right. He can eat no matter what.
Cal pretended not to be listening, saddling his horse as quickly as he could. Smoke was in for a pleasant surprise as the morning wore on, because it seemed like the Longhorns were willing to gather on the prairie without much urging. Most of them settled quickly and began to graze alongside the Hereford bulls. As the cow work continued, Smoke thought about the direction the Evans gang had ridden. North, making it logical they would try again farther up the trail. He wondered how much convincing Jesse Evans was gonna need. Pearly and Duke came trotting over to a grove of trees where Smoke had just driven out three Longhorns, helping him push them toward the main bunch.
That makes over 130 heads so far. This is easier than it looked like it was gonna be when we first got started.
Smoke nodded his agreement as he saw Cletus and Cal bringing five more cows from the east. Two more strays came out of the woods farther north on their own.
Some of them are volunteering to come back themselves.
Longhorns is the most unpredictable critters on earth. Sometimes they run off for no reason at all. Other times they won't run off if you ask them to. And a few times they stampede and then they come back without being asked. The first man who figures out how a longhorn's brain works is going to make himself a fortune.
Smoke was keeping an eye on the horizon, and Pearly was the first one to take notice.
You know they'll be back, don't you?
It's likely.
They'll do it different next time. They won't come at us straight on.
Hard to say, Pearly. About all we can do is stay watchful until it happens.
Oh, it'll happen. You know it as well as me. The way I see it, they've tried so many damn times now, we'll have to kill might near all of them before it's over and done with.
Smoke knew there was a good deal of wisdom behind Pearly's words. That evening, as Pearly signaled a pot of beans was ready to eat, only seven heifers remained unaccounted for. Time was more important now than seven cows, Smoke decided, his eyelids heavy from lack of sleep. He found good news when he climbed down from his saddle at the campfire. The wounded Hereford bull had stopped bleeding entirely, and now it was grazing along with the others, apparently suffering no real discomfort from its injury. Smoke tied off his horse, carrying his bedroll.
You gonna sleep or eat?
A little of both, I hope.
Cletus picked up his rifle.
I already ate all I could stand of Pearly's beans, so I'll take the first watch along with Cal. Cal's young enough not to need as much sleep as the rest of us.
Smoke tossed his bedroll over a stretch of soft grass before he came for a plate of beans.
Suits me, Cletus. I'll relieve you before midnight. Ride as close to the herd as you can without spooking them. They're still a little jittery after all that happened today.
So am I.
Well, I'll be damned hogtied. We just witnessed a miracle, boys. That boy hardly touched his food tonight, and that's like seeing a man walk on water without getting his feet wet.
North of the Haystack Mountain Range, Jesse led his men to a fork in the Pecos River coming from the west, a shallow body of sluggish water only belly deep on their horses. Pickett seemed to be interested in a spot north of the crossing, where big rocks and tall cottonwoods line the river.
This is it.
Jose Vasquez and four of his remaining pistoleros made it across, followed by Tom Hill, Pedro Lopez, and the two members of his gang left alive after the fight with Jensen. The last rider to cross was the Injun called Dreamer, who kept glancing backwards as if he expected him to be followed.
This is what, Bill?
The perfect place. I'll kill the son of a bitch while his horse is crossing this river. I can hide in them rocks yonder, and I'll be close enough to use my scatter gun. Bet you'll cut him to pieces at this range. Probably kill his horse, too.
He may get suspicious when he comes to a spot like this where he can't see if anybody's hit on the other side. That might not work like you planned.
He has to cross here to make sure there ain't no bogs or quicksand that'll trap his cattle. He's a rancher, and he'll know the risks if he don't test this crossing.
Well, we can have the rest of the men spread out up and down this riverbank to cover you.
That's what's wrong every goddamn time, Jesse. These idiots you hire don't know the first thing about killing a man out in the open. And what you got is a bunch of saloon-raised gunmen who've got no experience bushwhacking a man who knows wild country. He'll come real cautious down this river, being as careful as he knows how. That's why I'm gonna do this my way, so none of the rest of these fools tip my hand on what I aim to do.
Well, you suit yourself, Bill. The only thing I care about is finding Smoke Jensen dead.
You won't find nothing but pieces of him. I give you my word on it. He'll be 20 yards away when he's in the middle of this river, and that's close enough to shred every piece of meat on his body with a sawed-off shotgun like mine. You leave Jensen to me. Some bitch is as good as dead right now if he crosses this river.
Jesse wondered just how true that might be. But Pickett's reputation for killing his victims any way he could made him the perfect choice for this job. Jesse could never have admitted it to anyone, but after yesterday's defeat and the incredible number of men Jensen had killed single-handedly, he'd begun to experience twinges of doubt that he could do the job himself. Jensen apparently had some uncanny ability to move around without detection. How else could he have slipped up behind Little Horse and four more experienced Apache warriors, chopping their heads open with some kind of axe, not the sort of weapon the average man used in a war being fought with guns?
I don't give a good goddamn how you do it. You just make sure it don't backfire.
Jesse knew that the others feared Pickett, and rightfully so. Pickett was a madman, a hell of a lot more than slightly out of kilter when it came to killing other men, even as they lay dying from other bullet wounds. Roy Cooper had been much the same in that regard. Only somehow, Jensen had been able to kill him along with all the others that night, and it still worried Jesse some. Pickett turned back to Jesse now.
Tell that engine to ride back and see how far they are behind us, and tell that dumb son of a bitch not to let him see him. All engines are good at being sneaky, so tell him to be a good goddamn engine.
Dreamer apparently understood every word Pickett said. He gave Pickett a damn chilly stare, Then he swung his pony around and went back across the river, resting a very old Henry repeating rifle across his pony's withers.
Dreamer is liable to double-cross us now after what you just said about him.
He won't do it because he's after a payday. A rotten bastard would do damn near anything to get their hands on enough money to buy whiskey. Never saw an Injun who wasn't drunk or planning to get drunk. That's why you can't trust him.
Jesse looked north where the trail climbed to the top of a ridge between two low mountains.
We'll ride on over that rise yonder and make camp wherever there's water. Find a spring or something, a feeder creek. We'll be listening real close for gunshots.
Won't be but one. When little Miss Betsy gives Jensen her 10-gauge loads.
Pickett drew his double-barrel greener from a boot tied to the pommel of his saddle, and for a moment, it seemed he almost caressed its dark walnut stock while his face visibly changed. He glanced over at Jesse, and now a glint flickered in his pale eyes.
This here gun has ended a hell of a lot of men's lives. Only this one's gonna be special, because Jensen thinks he's so goddamn tough and clever.
Yeah, well, he is clever. But like you say, he'll die the same as any other man if a load of double-sized buckshot hits him in the right places.
He can't be all that clever. A man makes mistakes now and then. The biggest mistake Jensen made was coming to Lincoln County the wrong time. Now he's gonna pay for it with his life.
Jesse reined his horse for the top of the ridge. There was no point in discussing it with Pickett any further. If Pickett was as good as his reputation, and from what Jesse had seen of him in action during several attacks on Chisholm's cow camps, he damn sure was. All their troubles with Mr. Smoke Jensen would soon be over. Tom rode up beside Jesse as they were trotting up the ridge to look for water in a campsite.
This is liable to be one hell of a mistake. I got a real bad feeling about it.
You worry too much, Tom.
I worry when a man's already proved he's hard to kill, and I'm siding the bunch who aims to kill him. Pickett ain't never seen Jensen close before. When he gets a good look, he may change his mind.
Bill Pickett's a proven killer.
So's this feller Jensen. I've never heard of him before he came here, but I'll tell you one thing for sure. He's about as mean as they come, and this job riding for Jimmy Dolan don't pay enough to be worth getting killed. If Pickett don't kill him when he crosses that river, I'm quitting this outfit for good. There's gotta be easier ways to make money and live long enough to spend it.
You give Pickett a chance to prove himself before you start quitting a good-paying job at Dolan. There ain't all that much work to be had for a shootist in this part of the West, and I am sure as hell not asking to be taken off the payroll till I know there ain't no other choice.
Cattle were strung out for a half a mile when Smoke turned to look back at the herd. As they had from the beginning, the short Herefords brought up the rear. Cal and Cletus were riding drag at the back of the bunch. Joey and Johnny held the flank positions, keeping wandering strays driven back, while Pearly and Duke rode point on either side, aiming lead cows in the right direction. A peaceful day had passed with no signs of the Evans gang. Smoke had been reading their tracks every now and then, counting horses when the prints crossed barren ground. Between 15 and 20 men were days' ride ahead of the herd, judging by the freshness of the tracks, the edges of the clear prints that were still sharp before wind and time had made the dirt crumble. According to a crudely drawn map he carried in his saddlebags, they were a couple of days' drive from old Fort Sumner, an abandoned army post turned into a small community where sheepmen and Mexican goat herds lived in empty army barracks. The herd was managing 15 or 20 miles a day now, slower because of the short-legged bulls. Smoke swung his horse away from the trees where he'd been keeping an eye on the herd's progress. He was staying closer to the cows than before, in part because the tracks left by Evans and his men continued north. With no sign any of them had turned off to launch another attack or take up sniper's position when they came to high ground. Still, Smoke was nagged by the dull certainty that Evans would try again. Arrogant men with high opinions of themselves rarely ever gave up completely. Not until someone convinced them that they had no choice. It appeared to be a small fork leading to a main body of the Pecos River a few miles to the east. Lined with cottonwoods and jumbles of limestone boulders swept aside by previous floods, it looked to be shallow and easy to cross. Smoke sat as Palouse on a high bluff above the river, watching things carefully from a considerable distance before he rode down to test the river bottom for treacherous sand pits and bogs. Examining the branches of each tree, he was troubled when he found no birds perched on any of the leafy limbs near the crossing. As with most of his experience, reading this sort of sign had been taught to him by a preacher. Most all types of wildlife exhibited behavior that was as good as a signpost if a man knew how to read it. The sudden flight of birds from a particular spot was a warning sign to knowledgeable men. The direction a deer ran when it was frightened, sensing danger, was as meaningful as the angry charge of a grizzly protecting her newborn cubs. Even a lowly cricket gave off excellent warnings in the dark, simply by suddenly growing silent when it felt another presence close to its hiding place. The absence of sparrows or blue jays in the trees behind the river alerted Smoke to the possibility of danger. He reined his Palouse around and tied it off in a thicket where it could graze, pulling his rifle, taking a single thin blanket from his bedroll and wrapping it around his forearm. The sun was almost directly overhead. A soft breeze came from the west. Thus, Smoke began his approach to the crossing from the east, upwind, in the fashion of all seasoned mountain men stalking prey. He had a possible use for the blanket. Trick, just in case someone was down there gunning for him. Pickett had grown bored with all the damn waiting. Last night, as he rested on thin blankets with a pint of tequila for company, his impatience had lessened somewhat. But today, his nerves were on edge more than usual. It was all this damn waiting, even though he fully understood the necessity of it. If Smoke Jensen was the trained killer everyone else believed he was, he'd be smart and he'd be cautious. Pickett checked the loads in his pistol, Colt Peacemaker, for what seemed like the 100th time. Then he holstered it and took off his flat-brimmed Stetson. He peered above the rocks where shadows from nearby cottonwoods covered his hiding place. Again, there was no sign of a horseman approaching the river. He then clamped his jaw in frustration and ducked back down.
I'll bet that gutless son of a bitch headed in another direction. He's liable to ride plumb to Nebraska to get back home.
He'd gone over what he meant to do 1,000 times, not raising his head at all when the rider got close, waiting until he heard a horse in the river. Jensen would be looking for any kind of movement, and there would be none, not until he was in the water. Then, he might catch a split-second glimpse of 2 shotgun barrels flashing in the sunlight just before they exploded. Too late for any man to draw and shoot.
Come on, you yellow bastard.
Pickett held his head against a rock, his shotgun held loosely in his left fist with both hammers cocked. He didn't want the click of metal to alert Jensen just before he killed him. He wondered what the hell was keeping Jensen. According to what the Apache told Jesse, they should be nearing the river by now.
Hard on a man's nerves, all this waiting.
He let his gaze wander upriver, then downstream, examining every rock and tree. Suddenly, he saw a shadow dart among the cottonwood trunks.
It's him.
Pickett whirled around to hide himself behind the boulder. Jensen wasn't as clever as Jesse had thought. Pickett was sure what he had seen was the outline of a man coming upstream, already on the north side of the river.
Left his horse somewhere so he'd make less noise.
Peering cautiously around the rock, he aimed his 10-gauge and drew his Peacemaker, ready for anything, every muscle in his body tensed. He saw the movement again and almost fired at it till he caught himself.
No, 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 no. Not till you're closer, you bastard.
Pickett wanted to shred that Colorado cowboy with his scattergun if he could. Now, Nothing moved. The second time he saw Jensen, he'd been closer, yet not quite close enough for Betsy to do her best work yet.
Come on, Jensen.
He could almost taste the moment when he would kill Jensen, a thickening of his tongue with a slightly sweet taste on the tip. He found himself longing for the sight of a bullet-torn body oozing blood from hundreds of pellet wounds. And he imagined the coppery smell of Jensen's blood. He hoped to hell the first twin charges didn't kill Jensen instantly, because it would be far better to stand over him, to see the fear and pain in his eyes just before another shotgun blast tore his goddamn head to pieces. More waiting around made him impatient, until a heavier gust of wind blew down the river, rippling its waters, and at the same time, Jensen moved again, darting around the base of a cottonwood, rushing toward him. Pickett straightened up quickly.
I got you, you son of a bitch!
Pickett took a step away from the rock, holstering his pistol to reload the 10-gauge for a sure kill when he reached Jensen.
Not quite.
Pickett froze, twisting his head to look over his shoulder. He saw a man standing beside a rock pile less than 20 yards away. Pickett's mouth fell open.
You shot a blanket draped over a limb, but the blanket does belong to me. I'm Smoke Jensen. I reckon you've been waiting here for a long time to ambush me.
How'd you get behind me?
To tell the truth, it was mighty easy. I suppose you're the fellow named Bill Pickett, on account of that short shotgun. We were told you fancied yourself a man-killer. So far, the only thing you've shot are holes in what was a blanket.
You gonna shoot me in the back, ain't you?
My conscience might bother me. So I'm gonna let you turn around and reach for that Colt. I'll give you plenty of time.
You're lying. You'll kill me as soon as I move.
I'm gonna kill you either way. But if you want a chance to see how good you are with that six gun, make a move for it. But do it quick, or I'll just kill you now and be on my way. That shotgun blast is liable to bring Evans and his men any minute.
Pickett felt he had no choice. He dropped Betsy to the ground and made a slow, deliberate turn, expecting Jensen to draw a pistol before he could square himself. But to his surprise, Jensen remained motionless until Pickett had his feet spread slightly apart and his right hand hovering above his peacemaker.
Reach for it.
Pickett didn't wait for a second invitation. His hand went for his gun. Jesse Evans and Tom Hill were the first to scramble aboard their horses when they heard gunshots, with the others mounting right behind them.
That was Pickett's shotgun. Pickett got the son of a bitch.
I ain't gonna believe it till I see it. Yeah!
Jesse drew his pistol just in case, and as if it were a signal, every member of his gang was fisting guns as well. Riding as hard as they could, they covered the distance in only a few minutes until Jesse reined to a halt on a knob outside the river.
Yonder he is. Pickett wrapped his body in his blanket so as we can bury him.
Where the hell is Pickett? I don't see him nowhere. Wait, who's that?
It's probably just one of Jensen's boys. I'm riding down to have a look. You can see Jensen's dead from here. I mean, he ain't moving all wrapped up in that blanket like he is.
I ain't all that convinced as Jensen.
Jesse ignored that remark and rode his horse off the knob to reach the river. But as he got closer, he felt something was wrong. He heard the others following him, but at a slower gait. He rode up to the blanket-clad body and jumped down in a hurry to set eyes on Jensen's corpse. He knelt and pulled back the dark blue blanket, riddled with pellet holes.
Oh, shit.
Jesse's hand, the one holding the blanket, began to shake.
It's Pickett.
Jesse dropped the woolen cloth quickly and stood up, gazing at a mounted figure far across the river.
That is Jensen.
He's probably laughing at us. One thing's for damn sure, he's gotta be the toughest hombre I ever ran across, and if Bill Pickett was still alive, he'd be saying the same damn thing. You can count me out of this, Jesse. I'm pulling stakes while I still can. If you're smart, Jesse, you'll let that fella go wherever the hell he aims to go with his cows.
When Jesse looked at Pedro, Pedro simply shrugged.
He's no good, Señor Jesse. We no can kill him. He killed Ignacio and Roy, and now he killed Señor Piggott. He may kill him look easy. He kill us also if we don't leave him alone.
Mr. Dolan ain't gonna like it when I tell him.
Tell Dolan to try and kill him himself. He'll find out damn quick it ain't easy done.
I wonder who he really is. Now, I can guarantee you he ain't some cattle rancher from up north.
It make no damn difference to me. I only know one thing about him. He don't get no more chances to kill me or me compadres. We go home now.
I don't leave nobody but you, Jesse. We've known each other a long time, and I'm giving you good advice. Leave that Jensen feller plumb alone, or you'll wind up like Pickett and Cooper and all the rest.
He's just sitting there, watching us.
He's waiting to see what we'll do, I reckon. If we act like we're coming after him, he won't be sitting there in plain sight very long.
Jesse's hands unconsciously balled into fists, then they relaxed.
Come on, Jesse. Let's get the hell out of here before Jensen changes his mind.
It ain't my nature to run.
It's any man's nature to want to stay alive. We got no quarrel with Jensen. The only way we look like bigger fools is to stay and tangle with Jensen again. We can tell Dolan a bunch of Chisholm's riders showed up, leaving us outnumbered. If you agree to leave Jensen alone, I'll stay on with Dolan's outfit. Otherwise, I'm cutting a trail for parts unknown.
Jesse gave Smoke a final stare. Then without a word, he mounted up and wheeled his horse around to head back to Lincoln. It damn sure wasn't going to be easy giving Dolan the bad news. Approaching the lush green mountains and meadows just south of Sugarloaf Range brightened everyone's mood. The cattle were fat and had proven to be trail-worthy, even the short-strided Hereford bulls. It had been 2 weeks since the last confrontation with Jesse Evans and his paid guns. A peaceful 2 weeks of guiding cows across good grazing and plenty of water. Smoke had all but forgotten about the battles with Dolan's gunslingers until they neared the Sugarloaf. He'd have to come clean with Sally about what he'd done, the men he'd killed. He admitted as much one clear, crisp spring morning less than a dozen miles below Sugarloaf.
She'll throw a fit.
You're talking about Ms. Jensen, ain't you? I'd rather face the Shoshone tribe on the warpath than Ms. Jensen when she got her feathers ruffled.
I'll make her understand, even though she'll keep reminding me of my promise to stay wide of difficulties.
Well, we tried to avoid them. They was just too damn hard-headed. Wouldn't leave us alone.
Cal came up as the herd wound its way around the valley leading to Joey Wells' ranch.
We're home! Means we'll be having some of Miss Sally's good cooking afore too long!
I see your appetite has done returned to as usual.
I'm sick of beans and fatback. A big bear claw dripping with melted brown sugar should be nice. Maybe two or three of them.
Smoke was hoping all had remained quiet at the ranch while they were away.
Before she cooks up a bunch of bear claws, I'm afraid she's going to fix me a dish in my own words when I tell her about all the troubles we had.
You hadn't ought to promised her nothing. I reckon she knows you well enough to know such a thing just wasn't possible.
She'll have her say-so about it.
It'll soften her some when she sees them good bulls. That little one with the hole in his chest is doing just fine. He hardly don't notice it now.
Me? I'm looking forward to sleeping in my own bed instead of this hard ground. It's damn sure gonna be good to be back home for a change.
Smoke looked back at the herd. Some of the Hereford bulls had already mounted heifers coming in season during rest stops.
Next spring, we'll have pastures full of white-faced crossbred calves. And I'm gonna wire that fella Chisholm told me about down in St. Louis and have him ship me a good Morgan stud by rail this summer.
Sounds like you got things all planned out. Maybe things will settle down now. Burned a hell of a lot of gunpowder lately.
For a fact, I still dream about them two fillers I killed, the engine and the pistolero.
It'll pass, young'un. Besides that, if you didn't spend so damn much time sleeping, you wouldn't have time to do all that dreaming.
Joey Wells and Duke Smith rode up when they came to a fork in the valley leading to Smoke's ranch.
If it's all the same to you, Smoke, me and Duke will take a couple of those bulls and head for home. We'll bring the purchase money over in a couple of days if that's okay.
You're a neighbor and a friend, Joey. Pay for them whenever you get ready.
Thanks again for taking us along.
Well, as it turned out, we might not have made it if it hadn't been for the two of you helping out with your guns once in a while.
Always glad to help a neighbor. Yeah!
Smoke Jensen saw Sally waiting on the front porch as they drove the herd up to the corrals. She smiled a beautiful smile and waved to him.
Best you put your lion britches on before you tell her about this trip.
I'm not gonna lie to her. Besides, she'd know right off if I wasn't telling her the truth anyway.
You can tell her part of the truth. Say we ran into a bit of trouble, but it didn't amount to nothing.
She'd know.
Ms. Jensen is the only two-legged thing on earth Mr. Jensen is afraid of.
That's about the size of it, Pearly. I wouldn't do anything that might cause me to lose her.
Smoke kicked the Palouse colt toward the house while the others pushed the cattle toward the corrals. When he got to the front porch, he swung down and took his wife in his arms.
I've missed you. Have things gone smoothly here?
Oh, no problems. But I can tell you had a few problems. I can see it in your eyes. And in the fact that Johnny's wearing a bandage around his leg.
There was some shooting. I had to discourage some hard cases. Who didn't want us to get these cows to Sugarloaf?
You can tell me about it later. Right now, I want to see those Herefords up close.
I'd rather see you up close for a while.
That will come later, Smoke. If you behave yourself until the sun goes down.
Well, I may not be able to wait that long.
Then find yourself another woman. I'm not that easy. To just take off my clothes when a man comes riding up to ask.
Even if he's your husband?
I'd forgotten I had a husband. You've been away so long.
You always win the arguments, don't you?
We're not arguing. I won't let you take me to bed until I see those Herefords. End of discussion.
I suppose I should have looked for another woman on the trail.
Suit yourself, Mr. Jensen. But you won't find another woman who loves you the way I do. And you'll never find a woman who's any better in bed.
You got a high opinion of yourself, young lady.
I've earned it for putting up with you. Now show me the new bulls or you may wind up sleeping in the barn tonight.
Smoke let go of Sally and took her by the arm.
They're just what you said they were. Beefy. And I've seen Chisholm's crosses on Longhorns. They'll be perfect for the markets.
Sally squeezed Smoke's hand as they walked side by side down to the corrals, where Pearly and Johnny and Cal were driving the Herefords into a separate pen. She looked at the bulls a moment before she said anything.
Those bulls are the future of this ranch. I've never seen so much meat on one animal before.
Some of them have already bred some of the heifers on the drive up here.
I'm sure there's much more to tell me about the drive.
A few minor details.
Like the gun battles you got into, and how many men you had to kill to get them here?
Oh, I did have to shoot a couple. Well, maybe more than one or two, but I didn't have a choice.
It seems you never have a choice when there's a fight. I do wish you'd learn to turn your back on them.
Somebody'd shot me in the back if I'd done that.
You can tell me all about it after supper, Smoke. I'll do my best to understand. There's something inside you that won't let you avoid taking a side in things. And I suppose that's also one of the reasons why I love you. Some men would ride right past a one-sided fight. I've come to know you well enough to know you never would. Just remember, one fight you'll never win is a fight with me.
Smoke Jensen, the Mountain Man, 21, Battle of the Mountain Man, is a graphic audio production. Copyright 1998, William W. Johnstone. Production copyright 2011, The Cutting Corporation, all rights reserved. Published by arrangement with Kensington Publishing Corporation, all rights reserved. Performed by Mort Shelby, James Lewis, Tim Getman, James Konachek, Elizabeth Jernigan, Andy Clements, Stephen Carpenter, Michael John Casey, Richard Rowan, Drew Copas, Thomas Penny, Joe Brack, Dylan Lynch, Michael Glenn, Eric Mesner, Christopher Graybill, Tony Nam, Ken Jackson, Terrence Aselford, Johan Detweiler, Tim Carlin, and Nathaniel Perry. Additional Boot Hill Boys by the Dead Giveaways. Directed by Rose Elizabeth Supan. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Nathaniel Perry. Additional music by Johan Detweiler and Brian Patton. Smoke Jensen theme by Johan Detweiler. Book adapted for graphic audio by Johan Detweiler. If you enjoyed Battle of the Mountain Man, read the Pinnacle Edition. Visit www.kensingtonbooks.com and be sure to look for William W. Johnstone's The First Mountain Man, The Last Mountain Man, Blood Bond, The Last Gunfighter, Eagles and Sidewinders series, as well as Elmer Kelton's Texas Rangers series. All available in graphic audio at Road Stops Everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net, where you'll find samples of all our Action Pump titles as well as free downloads and podcasts. Now, keep listening for exciting previews of other titles in graphic audio. We appreciate it.
You cannot be here. Not now. You cannot forsake our son when his hour of need approaches.
Elbright, do not chase me away. Adrian is beyond me. Beyond all the world.
Go back!
St. Maribel has never fallen. Not to any enemy. Not to the great powry fleet that attacked us in the time of the demon. Not to the goblin hordes that descended upon the civilized lands. Not to the errant judgments of Father Abbot Delibert Marquardt. Not to the plague in all its incarnations. Our walls are strong, but not nearly as strong as the faith that truly holds us firm.
Fine words, brother. We will speak them together and loudly for all to hear.
When King Adrian comes knocking.
Dragon, the second oldest of the races and the most vile by far.
You knew that Bryn Dariel was rumored to possess such a beast.
So?
So explain your reaction.
I cannot explain. The revulsion within me, I had not anticipated.
Were you not joking earlier that you would desire such a beast as a mount?
I would desire its vile head as a trophy and nothing more.
We have been deceived. Duke Callus has turned.
How is this possible? Why did your scouts not detect?
Adrian and his gemstones.
We cannot fight them all.
If we turn now, St. Mirabel is doomed.
St. Mirabel is doomed in any case.
We have nowhere to run.
Then let us fight.
And so it ends.
Don't miss the final confrontation between good and evil. The conclusion of The Demon War Saga, Book 7, Immortalis, Part 3. Available now in graphic audio.
Graphic Audio presents E.E. Knights. Vampire
Earth.
Hi there. I'm supposed to see Lieutenant Franks. He's here, right? I got a message for him.
I don't know you, kid. Where's the message and who sent you?
It's verbal, Lieutenant. Let me think. Goes like this. You're a shit-eating, traitorous, murderous disgrace to the human race.
What?
That's about it. I'm sorry, who are you? I thought I knew everyone in camp.
I'd prefer not to be put in any official reports.
My name is David Valentine. I'm in charge of what's left of this company. I'd be obliged if you'd give me your name.
My code name is Smoke, if you have to say something.
Code name? You're a cat.
Yes, Mr. Lieutenant. Since the age of 16, are you missing about 24 men?
Some wolves under a lieutenant named Calda Giron are missing.
Don't expect them back. They got caught on the banks of the Verdigris. Slaughtered.
Pickett spotted the Grogs crossing the lake about midnight, 5 kilometers north of here.
Coming here or just trying to raid into the Ozarks?
They're after us, no doubt about that. Maybe some Kurian is down to his last reaper, thanks to you, Valentine. Give him hell, Val. Captaincies grow from days like these.
Good of them to let us know they're on the way. Let's return the favor. Stand your post, man, and let them know the wolves are waiting.
You missed a courier, Valentine. Bad news when it comes special delivery. Sorry, son. Someone you know die.
I've got orders to report to Montgomery next week. I'm subject to court-martial.
This how you always take bad news, Lieutenant?
I'm the king of bad news, lady. Ask my parents. Ask Gabby Cho. I'm King Midas and the Angel of Death all rolled into one. Whatever I touch dies.
Ah, the jovial kind of drunk. My favorite. Come on, Ghost, let's get you up. You're coming with me, Lieutenant Valentine. Can't have you doing yourself any harm. Not on my watch, anyway.
David, you've proved yourself as a wolf. To become a cat, your body will undergo some difficult changes, and there is a risk.
You use us?
Yes, we do. Do you know why? You are a unique race. The deadliest hunter in the world is a tiger. But put 5 of them together, and they still hunt no better than a single tiger. A beehive is a miracle of organization, but 3 beehives cannot cooperate. Army ants make warfare, plan campaigns, and make slaves of their captives, but do all this on group instinct and could never work together with an ant from a different queen. That is what we found on the worlds we explored. Individual greatness or collective ability, but never both. You humans, you are tigers alone and army ants together, able to switch from one to the other with ease. You're the greatest warrior species we have ever encountered.
Brace yourself, Valentine! Stay down!
Damn them all!
What was that?
A hell of a killing.
Available now in graphic audio.
If you can't find that graphic audio title you're looking for, go to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD format or digital download. If you're on the road, call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220. Or www.graphicaudio.net. And if you're looking for a great way to try out a different graphic audio series, check out our convenient and easy-to-store long-haul box sets, which contain up to 5 books of a series. Available only at www.graphicaudio.net. Be sure to sign up for our monthly newsletter or follow us on Twitter.